This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Talking the talk with head, tongue and toe. Walking the walk. Education can be so awkward. Spotlight on Academics We Know.
Kia ora, haere mai, and welcome to Spotlights on Academics We Know, the podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Buckingham, in Otapoti, Dunedin. Join me for conversations with lecturers, researchers, and practitioners about contemporary challenges, ideas, and potential opportunities for education and upskilling. Learning can be awkward. We aim to normalize the discomfort of being at the edge of new knowledge. This is so awkward. Wayne Green is a career practice lecturer, husband, and father of three. He has worked in a range of jobs around the Matu, laborer, primary teacher, and youth advisor. He holds a Bachelor of Social Service, a Bachelor of Teaching, and a Graduate Diploma of Tertiary Education. Wayne is currently learning to play the cello and often likes to eat his lunch in silence at Te Pukenga, Otago Polytechnic. Kia ora, I'm here today with Wayne Green. Good morning, Wayne.
Morning. Yeah, June, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm really good. It's quite a rainy Dunedin day. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I find it's a lot easier when there's flowers out. So the buildings are grey, the sky is grey, the street is grey, but at least there's a bit of colour.
Yeah.
So let's just start with the basics. So who are you, or Ko-Wai-O?
Who am I? Yeah. Well, that's a long question.
Yeah, well, you take as much time on that as you need.
Sure.
40-something years?
40, yeah, well, I'm 22, actually.
22 years, yeah. You can go through that history.
Well, perhaps I'll start with now and go back a little bit, I suppose.
That makes sense.
So currently, and because that'll kind of get into some cues onto how come I am where I am.
Yeah.
Okay, so currently I work on the Bachelor of Social Services.
At Otago Polytechnic.
At Otago Polytechnic. And I take papers across the 3 years of the degree, but mainly the focus for me is the career practice. Mm-hmm. So career practice is about working with people in a range of different career transitions or issues or a lot of spaces. So I guess maybe if I could maybe just pop it, what do graduates of career practice do?
Yeah, like what kind of work is there if you're a career practitioner? What does that mean?
Totally, because that'll kind of capture it in a small amount. These are not just graduates from when I've training, but maybe overall. So some have worked in the space of youth, so youth who haven't really had anyone to make good decisions with. You know, how do I find a purpose or reason? And some people can call that a course. Some people can call it a qualification or a vocation of some sort. So helping to identify values, interests and strengths, but also areas to work on, you know, and explore. There's a bit of exploring, like let's have a look at this course, let's have a look at that without a decision. You know, so sometimes that can just illuminate, you know, hey, here's some cool things that you're actually quite good at. You know, and that can be quite enlightening for the young person.
Yeah, so you're lecturing on this. Is this a job that you did before you were lecturing?
So this was a job that I did before I was a lecturer, and other careers practice colleagues work in that area too. So that's quite rich. Also, disability to employment, or neurodiverse to employment. So there's a couple of graduates who have worked in that space, so that can be super cool. Also, some more classic, you know, like tertiary careers advisors, so Summit University and Polytech will work at that space, and that's across New Zealand. People who are training careers will work in those spaces.
It must be a really satisfying job when you find someone, help them identify what their values are and get the right fit.
Yeah, exactly. And that gives them some really good impetus to make informed exploration. So you're absolutely right. So one of my mantras in class, I suppose, is that yes, we can do like matching exercises with computer stuff, and they can be quite useful. But what if somebody doesn't know any of that? There will always be values, even if they're hidden. So it can kind of uncover some of those, you know.
And algorithms work to a point, but actually people are only predictable to a point as well. Mm. And you can't tell. You see the tip of the iceberg, but all that stuff that's happening below the surface is really hard to identify sometimes.
Yeah, so and that's part of the you know, that can't always happen in a half-hour conversation or, you know, it can take time. And so, you know, there's lots of things we can do. Other graduates have worked also in MSD, long-term unemployed, that space. Corrections is an area where a couple of my classmates from way back 10 years ago worked, and we get guest speakers that work in there. So, you know, how do people fit with whatever background they bring into looking forward.
Everybody's got a skill set. It's just about putting it in the right place.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right. I agree with you. Everybody has a skill set or a value set to develop skills or, you know, whatever it takes. Quick capture.
that's all right. That's good. Well, let's change direction a little bit.
Sure.
And let's talk about how we know each other. So what do you remember about when we first met?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Adrian, I think I first remember you when you started on the certificate program.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure that's where I remember.
Started this year.
Probably
2021? 22, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. About then, probably. About there, I think. So, and you were working on the certificate of the health and well-being?
Yes.
Got that right, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I remember the first time I saw you outside of work, and you had a cello case on your back, and I was like, this is cool. What is happening here?
Yeah.
And you were like walking from your cello lesson, weren't you?
I'm going to, I think, because, yeah, my boy does violin, and so I do cello as well. So, which, that's an interesting story. We can tack off on that.
Tell me a little bit about this, because most parents are so busy running their kids around to activities. I think it's so cool that you were like,
Yeah, well, there's a story about that too. So way back when I was going to youth group, this would be like when I was 19-ish, maybe 20. Yeah, yep. There was a girl in youth group who was a couple years younger, and she was almost profoundly deaf, but she played cello beautifully. And I was like, wow. I was captured. One day, I played the flute a little bit in those days, and I was just captured by that, and I thought one day I'd really like to do that because I loved the sound of it, and she played really well, and I was like, wow, that's inspiring. And here I am like 24 or 5 years later, and it's still there, and recognizing there's never a great time.
No, there's never a good time.
There's never a good time.
So it might as well be when you're working full-time with 3 kids and during a pandemic. It might as well be then.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's about it. So really loving it, and nearly finished my first year. We've actually got a what do you call it? Like a
concert? You play?
Concert. Yeah, that's the
end
word.
End of year concert.
Yeah, on Saturday at Bathgate. So that's where I'll go and play. And we're playing a couple of Christmas carols, and there's we're going to be playing the bass part. So that's really cool.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. And is there quite a mixed group of ages that we'll be performing?
Yeah, so I'm playing with one other lady who's a bit, probably about my age, maybe younger, I'm not sure. We're learning together. We've started this year, but we will be connecting with a couple others who have been playing longer than us, and we have only ever had one practice, which was last week. So it went all right. So
break a leg. I hope it goes well.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
Oh, that's cool. So Bathgate Music is open to all ages?
Yeah, if they've got enough instruments, yeah.
Great. Oh, that's really cool. I feel like that is an underused service in our community.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I've taken drum lessons before, briefly, from a colleague when I was teaching high school. And it was really busy, so it was like a 10-minute lesson on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And it was great, but I've sort of fallen off that, so maybe cello next.
Yeah. You must have a musical interest.
Yeah,
to get some rhythm and some beat going.
Yeah, I like the idea of it. Like the reality of it's quite painful for me because I can hear that it doesn't sound right.
Right.
And that's the tricky thing about learning, though, isn't it? That you're never as good as you want to be.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, we come across that in our jobs all the time, don't
we? We do.
Yeah. So we do work in a learning institution. What do you like about learning? And why?
Sure. Wow. That's a massive question.
It is.
Let's go for a start point. I think learning is... my value around learning is that it's useful.
Yeah.
You know, that's the real key. I really like that word, useful. And there's careers theorists and stuff who use this word useful, you know. And one key phrase is social services is a helping profession, but we often change the word help to use. Mm. So instead of introducing saying, how can I be helpful today? It's how can I be useful today?
Yeah. Oh, that's so, quite good.
Yeah.
That's a game changer, actually.
Game changer, because then I'm not the helper and you're not the helpee.
Right.
I am useful in your journey.
Yeah. I can be a tool. I'm alongside. I'm not coming in to rescue.
Exactly. Wow. And learning to how to be useful. Yes, in theory is very useful. And, mm-hmm. you know, but applying in practice is learning how that theory works. But also tools and understanding how do I hear someone, how do I ask questions that are useful, et cetera, et cetera. So in at least in my role, learning is got that definitely practical element. Like knowledge just for knowledge to me is, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing wrong with it, but.
But how is it useful?
Yeah, how do we affect change in our world? And improve the quality of people's lives.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right to comment on that, because affecting change, often we can't change systems or the big picture or any of that stuff.
Pretty overwhelming when you look at it like that.
Yeah, but I've got a wee, but we can make a difference mm-hmm. or have someone make a difference in their own lives. Mm-hmm. I've got a little, like a story or a parable around that. It's about jellyfish. Jellyfish sounds weird.
Tell me about the jellyfish. So, do you know, first of all, the collective noun for jellyfish is a smack.
Really?
Smack? Yeah, like not a crowd, not like a school. It is a smack of jellyfish.
A smack of jellyfish.
Yeah, so there's some useful facts for you today.
Yeah, I will take that into my next client session. Maybe.
All right, tell me about the jellyfish.
Yeah, so the jellyfish. So imagine there's a huge storm, right? Massive storm, and you imagine there's the beach there, and the wind and the waves are huge, and the underwater currents are massive, and it's all swirling around, and these currents pick up this smack of jellyfish, and they get washed up on the shore. And so the next day when the storm's finished, the sun is beating on these jellyfish on the beach. Mm-hmm. So it's not looking good for the jellyfish, right?
No, you're baking that jelly.
Baking that jelly. Love the comments. And so there's one guy, mm-hmm. one person is picking up individual jellyfish mm-hmm. and popping them in the ocean, so off they go. And there's thousands of jellyfish on the beach in the hot sun. Mm-hmm. And another person comes along and says, you're wasting your time. There are thousands of jellyfish. You are not going to make a difference. And he holds this one jellyfish and says it makes a difference to this one.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of puts some of the learning and usefulness has a purpose.
It's pretty profound.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And I think I've heard this parable before, but I think maybe it's the Canadian context. I heard it as starfish, but I like jellyfish better because sometimes jellyfish sting you. And that...
Ah, got it.
I think really sums up people. Mm. You know, sometimes they sting you. And it's not that they mean to. It is purely about keeping themselves safe.
Yeah.
So you might be trying to be useful and get a little sting in there sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's all part of interacting with jellyfish.
Yeah.
Do you think we can drag out this metaphor anymore?
That's the problem with metaphors, isn't it? They just can't just keep going and going.
Yeah. I have a writer that I really like called Martha Beck, and she's sort of like life coachy. And her child says to her, it must be really great building your career on mixing metaphors, Mom. She's like, yeah, it is. It is great doing that.
Yeah.
So we see what you like about learning, But we've already referenced this. Learning can be quite uncomfortable sometimes. So tell me about an awkward learning moment that you've had. You originally did the Bachelor of Social Service at Otago Polytechnic,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it quite awkward to come back on the other side of the desk?
No, I think that was kind of straightforward, I think. Mm-hmm. I think because, and I think I kind of knew what it was about because I was a trained primary school teacher as well.
Oh,
so that's
cool.
Why I was offered the job. So I combined some practice with teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was pretty comfortable for you to get.
I suppose I can say this, was my first week was the week, the last week of work in 2018, and it was just paperwork stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it was really hard to find all the documents, didn't mm-hmm. know where anything was, others were on leave, so I couldn't really mm-hmm. ask anyone. There have been staff changes all over the place, so it was all up and
changing
down.
Changing landscape.
Yeah, so that was and although I had teaching experience and new careers okay, I didn't know mm-hmm. all of the academic processes and paperwork and all mm-hmm. of that. So I remember having to not being able to find an online copy of one of the – we had course books in those days mm-hmm. and archives couldn't find it, and I had one printed copy with handwriting all over it. So I had to try and find a template and write the whole thing, type the whole thing out. Yeah, so that wasn't a great learning experience.
No, that sounds not just uncomfortable, it sounds painful.
Yeah, it was real painful. And I remember spending that whole first week going, what have I done? Why am I doing this?
Yeah, you left a job that you knew and you were comfortable with and knew the landscape, and then you're like, what am I doing here?
What am I doing? Yeah.
Yeah. It's really scary when you start a new job.
Yeah, totally.
I think.
Yeah.
I think I've always worked in education, so I kind of think it takes a full year, a full academic year. But they say that about buying a house and looking at the garden. Mm. You leave it and watch it for a year. You see what it does in all the seasons. You see what fruits it can already yield before you start messing around with the soil.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah. Hard because I want to go in there and be like, but we can make it better.
Yeah.
But I don't actually know what I'm dealing with yet. So I actually have to hold myself back and go, actually, it's probably better than you realize. You just need to see what it looks like, not at the beginning of the process or the middle of the process, but what does it look like at the end of the process and what kind of products are you actually getting? Because process is messy. It doesn't look good from any angle.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think you're right too. That's an interesting point you said about look at the outcomes. And so sometimes I look at how I used to do the admin and all of that kind of stuff and do my Moodle. And, I didn't really – pretty messy because admin's not one of my strengths. And I was sort of like, students still came through with good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been okay.
Yeah.
It is definitely better now than it was.
I'm definitely improving. Firm believer that you have to hang on to what you're good at so you can be okay with what you're not good at, because none of us are the whole package.
That's one of my favorite comments is none of us are the whole package. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why we have a diverse team. That's why we have people with different skill sets. Mm. We've got some great administrators on our team.
That's one of my key things is always be, what do you call it? Always like to get on with anyone,
mm-hmm.
but if people have administrative strengths, especially, then I can ask questions and make sure we get those boxes ticked, and which is all very important.
It is important, and it makes it easier when there's somebody who gets excited about that stuff too.
I've met people who get excited by administration.
People do. I mean, I used to talk to groups of workplaces and go, okay, how many people here can do an Excel spreadsheet? And, most of the room puts their hands up. I'm like, okay, who in here gets really excited about doing an Excel spreadsheet? You get three or four hands that go up, and they are genuinely excited.
They own it, yeah.
And I'm like, see, these are the people we should be asking to do that. And how many of us can do public speaking? How many of us want to do public speaking? It's just about having the right people in the right roles.
Yeah.
And so many workplaces are expecting us to be heavy hitters in all areas.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sports teams don't work like that. Why should work teams? Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm. I mean, obviously sport's the ultimate template for everything in this country. So.
yeah.
Feel free not to comment on
that one. Yeah.
So what mahi do you care about at the moment, and why does it matter to you?
At the moment?
Yeah. What are you focused on?
In the short window, I just focus on doing some planning stuff and getting things ready for next year, which is good. I think
in terms of the big ideas, like around career practice, tell me about that. What are you excited about?
I'm just a big picture excited about what careers practice is and whatever space that works in. A, finding someone's passions and interests. Also working with transitioning from one to another, because sometimes people have unexpected transitions. They get made redundant, they lose their job, something happens, they can't finish their study, whatever it is. And that's kind of exciting because in one sense it can be disappointing and upsetting,
terrifying,
and very difficult.
You know, all of those things.
On the other hand, it's interesting to go, well, what's the new door that could be opening?
It's an opportunity, isn't it? It's an opportunity to do something different, potentially something you're better suited to.
Yeah. And I also think some of it is that, like, we talk about uncertain futures quite a lot.
Especially at the moment. The last 3 years have destroyed any idea of certainty.
Yeah. Which is interesting to also think about, because I think part of, you know, when has a person's future been certain?
Yeah, it was an illusion. You know? But we had it. Yeah.
And that comes from the, you know, the days where you could do a job for life.
For 40 years and then get a gold watch. Isn't that the stereotype? Very American.
But there was, you know, and I think it's probably quite difficult to do that.
I worked with a guy
at
Otago Boys who started his first day of teacher's college when he was like 21. And he worked at that school for 40 years and then donated the leather briefcase that his parents gave him on his first day of work.
Wow.
And that doesn't exist anymore. But it did when I started my career. And it's fascinating to see that that has existed this century but doesn't exist now.
Yeah, totally.
The world has changed. It's different. And I think the space that you're doing this work in and career practice is so interesting, because you've got things like the Great Resignation. You've got all these people whose, I don't know that their values actually changed during the lockdowns or during COVID, but actually they had time to think about their values.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, a lot of things. But I think, it's always been like, there's always been opportunities outside doing one thing, you know, maybe less and less in the future. But I guess now it's and I'm not a labor market analyst, you know, but in terms of some people thrive in new contexts and how can I be imaginative and creative. Random story I remember, I think I heard it on the radio, was one person who used to run farm tours for Canadians and Americans who had never seen a farm before.
Wow.
They could go through the farm and feed the animals and goats and different things and pat them and do all this type of thing, give a farm experience. But how do you do that online?
Yeah.
So she actually created an online platform where people from over the world could zoom in and actually just see the animals, and she would take them on a virtual tour around.
Seriously?
And apparently that went well. I mean, I haven't studied it, but
wow,
it's just one example of many things of
it's the ultimate pivot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is that a pivot? A career pivot? Because it's going up online, which isn't the same as a pivot, is it?
Well, it's not really. It's doing the same thing in a different way.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think so. Some people thrived in the environment where creativity and ingenuity, those things. And, of course, there's other stories as well where people lost their work.
Yep.
Face-to-face interactions decreased so much. It's not funny. The online world was, you know, lots of people had to learn how to do their jobs online, which was really difficult for a lot of people. Some people
and
just
lonely for a lot of people.
One colleague actually said, and this is an interesting thing, if more people are doing work online and away from others, she had the phrase of high tech, high touch.
Tell me about that. What does that mean?
So the concept is that if people are working on a computer all day and missing that human interaction, perhaps industries like massage therapy will be a lot more popular after work.
Yes.
So high tech, high touch. You know,
absolutely. So that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense for a lot of people.
High tech, high touch.
Mm.
Absolutely. I'm going to go book a massage, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
We've actually had a conversation about massage before because we both agreed that if we were going to study something at the Tucker Polytechnic instead of teach, we were like, yeah, we'd do massage therapy.
Yeah.
For me, I think it was just because I'm like fascinated by how bodies work and all of that. And yours, it was about helping, wasn't it?
I think for me, part of it...
Being
useful.
Yeah.
Part of it was what you said. I think the other part is you could actually improve someone's day.
Yeah.
They've got something to look forward to in their day. You can maybe have a chat about whatever while doing something therapeutic, and then that's it. It's finished.
I've got to tell you, one of the great jobs I had, and I didn't know it was great when I had it because I had it so early in my life, was scooping ice cream.
Right.
And I got trained up by a woman in her 50s who had like a pretty hardcore smoker's hack and grovelly voice, and this is in the 90s. And she was like, this is a great job because people are happy to see you.
Right.
Because they're coming for ice cream. And I'm like, well, yeah, people are always happy to see me. You know, I was a cheerful student.
Yeah.
And to realize how rare that is in a job that actually people are happy to see you.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of people's experience.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Often the checkout person gets a bit of brunt.
Yeah, exactly right.
You must have had good arms.
Yeah.
Strong arms scooping that ice cream.
I did have strong arms. I'm left-handed, so it was only like the left bicep.
Right.
I also ate ice cream every day for months, and I worked two summers. And so I made sure that I was rowing to sort of offset it. And then if there were no customers in there, I'd be eating the ice cream, but I'd also have to do like 10 squats for like every extra flavor of ice cream I decided to have. I was like, it's just like,
good
love
discipline.
My ice cream, but I, you know, match it with, you know, usefulness. Make that ice cream useful.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there we go.
Awesome.
Quite funny. Have you done any strange jobs in your life?
Yeah, sure. I've done lots of different jobs in my life. So I've done I used to be a forklift driver.
Tell me about that. Is it fun? It looks fun.
Parts of it are fun.
I mean, I couldn't be trusted with that kind of machinery.
Yeah, part of it was fun. Just picking up stuff and dropping them off into trucks and leaving and that. I think I was working at an aluminium factory, and there was a few interesting forklift drivers who were a bit more crash and bang.
Okay.
So I got the jobs to do the slow, careful forklift driving. I remember, for example.
Slow and steady. This is your skill set.
Maybe. And so I remember having to forklift this really wide pallet with lots of kind of stuff on it that was worth quite a lot of money, and I had to just pop it on top of the office roof.
Okay.
It was an internal office, so it wasn't. So, but the space wasn't, so I'm like, okay, right, well, if I'm doing it, we're going to cordon off the area, everyone can go and get, you know.
Health and safety.
Absolutely, and I'm like, well, if I take half an hour to do it, so I picked it up, because, of course, if it's really wide, when you turn, the edge of it's got a real swing, and so if you stop suddenly, it'll keep swinging and fall off.
Oh.
You know, and there's stuff on there, so it's like just inch by inch, just little by little, just up and it went, and it was probably quite painful to watch. But at the end of the day, it was half an hour to get like lots and lots of stuff on top of this thing. So that was interesting.
And there were no losses. So
no losses, no. But probably the worst job I've had to do. I used to work at a panel beaters, and that was okay. I quite enjoyed that part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one part of that was, and this was in the days when I was just, you know. Didn't have any responsibilities, so I just used to do some casual. I pretty much used to walk in there and say, hey, have you got any work today? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sweet, here, go and do that. So that was interesting.
Wow, that's a different era, isn't it?
That's a different era, yeah.
Wow. Was that in Dunedin?
No, that was up north in Hamilton.
Okay.
And anyway, the guy, he was a really good boss, a really good guy. And but one time he asked me, he had dogs, and he had this rotten pig meat out the back, and I had to take it to the dump. And I'm like, well, normally, because he was such a good guy,
yeah.
And it gave me work pretty much whenever I needed it. So I'm like, okay. But I remember the bottom of the bag was thin. Yeah, I know, right? And I made up my mind saying, again, there is no way this bag is going to break while I'm here.
You're just going to decide that.
I've already decided that it's not going to, because if it breaks, right? So I got the ramp set up on the truck and I got my little jack or whatever it was. And it was in gravel, so I dug under the gravel a little bit to lift this bag. Like, it took me ages to get it onto the bag, but I was like, oh, it's not going to break.
It's worth it, though.
Totally. So I got this flat thing under here, which meant I could lift it, and then kind of inched it up on the back, left it right by the tailboard. So when I got to the place, I could open the boot and...
And did the bag break?
No.
How good.
So that was my worst job, but I also used to work as... in the old days in a car park, taking people's money with the tickets, $2, thanks, chuck it in the machine and count the money up at the end of the day.
Okay.
Yep.
I would be happier giving my money to you than to that nameless machine.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, yeah.
I mean, at least I really like the eye contact bit, like the, hi, thanks for parking here. Like, I used to love going to New World.
Especially if you're a regular.
Yeah.
You can say g'day to the regulars that came through, and the movie staff would come out and you say, how was the day? And
that sense of community is actually really important. And I've always felt that, because I was a person who moved around a lot, and you can tell from my accent, I'm not from these parts.
Yep.
And I can remember, must be 12 years ago, but going to Rhubarb when it was like kind of the only cafe that existed.
Yep.
And I ordered a rhubarb friand because yum. And the guy who works there, Sam, goes, you have it with yogurt, don't you?
Oh, yes.
And I was like,
love it.
Yes, I do. And it was the first time ever in my entire life I had been recognized as a regular. And it was like a huge sense of like community and welcoming that I'd never had in 30 years previous.
Yeah.
It matters.
It does matter. So a couple of things about that. I had the same experience when I used to go to Les Mills gym.
Oh, okay.
I'm not
in Dunedin?
Yeah, in Dunedin. And,
back so when you were young and fit, before kids?
Yeah.
Not suggesting you're not still young and fit.
Thank you. That's good. You got that. Yeah. So I'd go in there, and first time I go in there, I went to the spin class, and they said, hi, how you doing? And then I came back out, and they said, how was your class, Wayne? And they used my name, and how was it? And I was like, it was great, thanks. And after a couple of times... Then I came back the other time, and the thing said, hi, Wayne, would you like me to book your next class in for you? I'm like, yeah, that would be great. You know, you felt like you mattered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does matter. And I know there's like a really cynical bit where people are like, oh, it's just about, you know, customers and making sure people come back. But actually it is about community. Mm. You know, I can make my own coffee. I really can. Not well, but I can. But I actually pay to go into a space where someone's playing new music I've never heard, where somebody has a bit of a chat.
Yes.
And I used to say this when Jay used to run the Daily Coffee Company. When I go, here's your coffee, Adrian, I'd be like, it's like saying I love you to your community. Like very platonic, I love you, let me be clear.
Yes.
But it's just, it matters.
It does, yeah.
It matters, especially if, you know, other areas of your life aren't that easy. And we know there's a great bit of research that just came out that the more diverse somebody's like superficial community is, so those like short interactions, but the more diverse that is, the healthier you are, the better your well-being is. So the more
awesome.
People you just make eye contact with and say hi and can have a little wee chat with.
Interesting you say that. One of the back to career practice.
Yeah.
One of the underlying things that we talk about is Amundsen's got the mattering environment. And you don't have to do it the way he does it, but working with someone in a way that they feel like they matter.
A mattering environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's his name?
Norma Munzen.
Okay, Norman Munzen.
Yep.
A mattering environment. I like that.
Yeah, and one of the things is I think that he's got a four-step thing. I'm not sure if I can remember it all off the top of my head, but the first one is making sure someone feels like they're actually just visible.
Yeah. Being seen is massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's similar to what you're saying is, you know, if you're working with a client and they're waiting in the room or whatever, hi, Sally, how are you today? Oh, yeah, great. Would you like a coffee while you wait? Or if that's, you know, et cetera. Or nice to see you today, Amy or Harry or whatever mm-hmm. it is, if you've got their name, you know, small yeah. things like that. Are you in for a CV today? Or are you in for a career? You know, those sort of things. And it finishes on follow-up. So after you've had the discussion or whatever, then how are you going to follow up?
Yeah.
In an ideal world, like, thanks for your time today, Amy. Here's a couple of things that may be of use that we didn't get to discuss today. And I've provided the links.
Okay. Might oh, be that's something interesting.
Like that, you know, something small, but it means that, you know, that's really important, I think.
I think so, too. I mean, I've never heard of this theorist, but for me, it's about pathways, like validating a person and their feelings or their thoughts or whatever, and going, well, from my experience, there's three different pathways I can think of that relate to this. If you're interested, jump down those rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important that we have to recognize people have a past,
absolutely.
See them in the present, and then know that they're going to have a future without you somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. What I like about this conversation is that we come from really different backgrounds in terms of like practice, even though we're doing similar parallel jobs, but similar values, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about the same things with different words and different theorists and different approach, but yeah, ultimately it's just community, isn't it?
Yeah. Community and people and better futures or whatever that is. Yeah.
And have you been in the Dunedin community for a long time?
I came to Dunedin in 2004.
Wow.
So that was...
18 years. That's the year I arrived in Dunedin too.
Really?
The first time around, yeah. I left and came back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was cold. I came in the middle of July, and I've never been so cold in my life. And I was raised in Canada.
And you were from Canada.
Yeah, like minus 30 is like a thing that happens there. But I was cold inside.
Oh, because the houses probably aren't as good.
Oh, well, and I was, you know, I was 23, you know, I wasn't living in a double-glazed, well-insulated palace. But I was living in a lovely little spot in Tainui.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were, 2004, so I finished my teacher training in Hamilton and then came down and did that. Messed around. I only knew about two or three people, so that was kind of a new start.
Wow.
That was really interesting.
Yeah.
And developed, as I said, finished my primary school teaching training. So, and I kind of combined relief teaching with forklift driving and some wharf work and temp work and all different sorts of different things. So, when I was a young fella, I don't think I could do it now.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm really impressed because you're the kind of career practitioner I'd want to have because you've had a lot of careers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. A lot of different experiences, yeah. Yeah.
You know what you're talking about.
Mostly.
Sometimes.
Always space to learn, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2023, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah. Do you know what? I haven't even stopped to really think about that.
Wow. Second year of cello?
Second year of Trello. That's going to be awesome. I'm going to rock it. Probably start a YouTube channel.
Nice. Well, I'll follow you.
I won't be doing that. I think that'll be my fifth year lecturing. So looking forward to work-wise, running a honed program, I think would be really good.
Takes a few years.
Yeah, it sure does. And I mean, when I first started, I had like two or three contacts for placements, and now I've got like not enough students for placements.
Wow.
So that's...
It's a nice position to be in.
Yeah, nice position to be in. So sort of looking forward to that. I would like to do some volunteering if I can fit it in once every couple of weeks. I'm sort of interested in a couple of different things to find out where practice is in some spaces I haven't worked in. Right. So I haven't actually approached anyone really yet, but I'm interested.
Hear that, people? If you need a volunteer, you give us a call and we'll get Wayne onto it.
Sort of, again, I'm kind of choosing areas that I don't know that much about experience-wise, but looking at possibly refugee or ex-refugees, I should say, sorry.
So and through Red Cross or
yeah,
something.
Transitioning and how can we be useful in that space. Also interested in disability to employment and that space as well. So
yeah, neurodiversity is getting its day finally. We're getting to talk about this more, I think, and find the resources to.
I think you're right. And so my middle child is ASD.
Okay.
So that's interesting to think about.
Steep learning curve.
Yeah. Well, it's a you have to learn.
Yeah. Yep. I know.
Actually, you have to. So So already thinking, where's that going to look like long term? So there's definitely some strengths and skills that sometimes they don't get recognized because of the other difficulties.
That's right.
So it's really interesting. So I'm probably not going to chase it this year, but I'm going to maybe approach some people next year and hopefully I can even just to be part of a thing like once an afternoon every couple of weeks or something, you know. Not too sure really because I haven't. Yeah. But there's some things I'm kind of looking forward to at the very least exploring next year.
Yeah.
And then I think that will add a bit of class cred as well.
You absolutely. Know, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Man, I would think you were busy enough already, but I admire your ambition.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, unrelated question session.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any questions for me?
Some of the similar ones. How, if you were to do this year again, and if you're in January, February this year, what kind of stuff might you do differently or maybe not do at all? Or
oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So I've got a long list. I came into a new job and there was 16,000 files sorted into something like 2,000 folders.
Lost in space.
And I was so overwhelmed by it. I was like, you know what? We're going to park this here and we're going to start from scratch.
Mm.
And got all the files backed up and it seemed like the right call at the time. It was hard to, I don't know if it would have been easier to find the files or if it would have still made sense. It was a pretty much a brand new team. So nobody in theory was really committed to the structure that it had been, but I'd redo that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Hard though. You wouldn't have had much lead in time to make
a
call.
No lead in time. And you know, you show up and you're learning on the job. And that's just part of it. So that's probably IT stuff. That's probably the biggest thing. The rest of it, you know, not everything went exactly how I wanted it to this year, but I think there has to be room for self-compassion. Like you can only do what you know. And I come back to Maya Angelou all the time on this one, you know. When we know better, we do better.
Yeah.
So hopefully I will do as much reflecting and wrapping up as I need to in the next week and a half, and then just plow forward in 2023 and think about what I can do better in the future rather than what I can do in the past or could have done in the past.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Here's a really interesting question that I couldn't answer for myself really.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
excellent. Love questions like that. Good challenge.
In terms of the, we have a theorist called life design. If you were to from here go, maybe if I could work out ideally looking forward, if I was to design my life,
life design. Okay.
Yeah. Around whatever you would do. And again, it's an ideal conversation. It doesn't always happen in reality.
Okay.
But if you were to go, if I were to design my life in an ideal world, what might it look like? What might you be doing in retirement, let's say?
Okay. Life design retirement.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So ideal world, money no object.
Yeah, sure.
I would really like to spend June, July, and August not in Dunedin. That's the dream.
Yep.
Just somewhere warmer, for winter. Life design. I would like to still be learning.
Yeah.
I would love to have a community where I still felt I mattered and was contributing.
Mm.
I would like there to be a lot of exercise. I feel like that's something that's missing in my life at the moment between work and parenting and sleeping. I'd like more sleeping too.
Yeah, I understand that one. Yes.
Yeah, you've got a baby in the house, so you really understand that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, life design. Ooh, I like this concept. I feel like
it's really big.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like kind of initially blows.
Yeah,
then you start thinking about. Well, actually, like, we don't know. Like, I'm still 20 years away from retiring, if I was to retire at 65.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to kind of think about because you don't know really where you'll be at.
No.
But it's interesting also to link to, you know, if we were to go, well, Adrian or Wayne, what kind of values did you have at high school that you think are worked in different ways now but are still current with you? So the idea of helping people or working with people probably remained at high school.
I like people. I like being part of a community.
Yeah,
I played sport because I got to hang out with people.
Yeah.
I stopped liking sport when I got really good at it and it became competitive and you were competing against your teammates.
Got you.
And it's just such a clear motivation for me.
Yeah.
I like things until people get competitive and it starts to threaten that connection or relationship. What else? High school is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because I have recently ended up in a chat with the people I graduated with in Canada in 1999. And I've got quite a good friend who lives in LA and he just calls me sort of once a year and just to check in to see how things are going. And his daughter now goes to the school that we went to.
Oh, wow.
So thinking about high school a lot lately. But, you know, I graduated, and with my big graduation dress, I wore Adidas three-stripe sneakers. And then earlier this year, when I graduated from University of Otago at 41 with my master's in psychology, I crossed the stage in Converse. So comfort is clearly one of my values.
That's awesome. I just have colleagues who work in the senior entrepreneur space, and it's interesting to think about that kind of bigger picture about often, and we've all heard stories, I think, about people who retire and then don't have what else is there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really interesting to think about, well, there needs to be a something else.
There needs to be a something, and your whole identity can't be your work.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just super interesting.
Yeah, fascinating. Oh, something to think about as we go forward.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for having this conversation today, Wayne. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, same here. Thanks, Adrian, for inviting me today.
Oh, anytime. If you want to do this again, we can probably fit it in next year.
Sure.
All right. Thanks.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.